This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Last week, you heard the first part of a two-part show called Ask the Sex Therapists, which was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood. Today, I've got the second half for you. I want to remind you about the panel of therapists I convened. Jamila Dawson, LMFT, is a polyamorous, kinky, queer sex therapist, speaker, and educator. She specializes in counseling around sexuality and non-traditional relationships, as well as provides coaching for changemakers seeking to integrate the personal and the professional. Her work is grounded in social justice, sex positivity, liberation psychology, and community mental health. Jamila brings to her clinical work over 10 years of experience as a sex educator, providing workshops for some of the most well-known adult stores in Los Angeles. She conducts trainings and seminars for clinicians and the general public. Dr. Chris Donahue is a doctor of clinical sexology and human sexuality, a nationally recognized sex and relationship expert, and the co-host of CBS's Loveline with Amber Rose podcast. In addition, Dr. Donahue was the resident expert hosting his own segment on VH1's The Amber Rose Show and regularly appears on CBS's The Doctors. He has been featured on CNN, OWN, National Geographic, Dr. Drew's Life Changers, Newsweek, Cosmo, Vice, and much more. He is the author of Sex Outside the Lines, Authentic Sexuality in a Sexually Dysfunctional Culture. Kate Lurie, LMFT, is a sex-positive licensed marriage and family therapist with a specialty in kink, non-monogamous, LGBTQ, and sex worker communities. In addition to her master's in marriage and family therapy, she is also a registered art therapist and has a second master's in business administration. She has been practicing psychotherapy for 14 years and has additional training in EMDR and the trauma recovery model for the treatment of trauma, including sexual, physical, and emotional abuse. She's currently writing her first book. Dr. Hernando Chavez is a licensed marriage and family therapist, professor of psychology and human sexuality, and sex educator. Dr. Chavez's sex therapy practice specializes in erotic minorities, LGBTQI, BDSM, fetishism, non-monogamy, unique sexual lifestyles and expression, couples, sexual and relational difficulties, and sexual concerns and dysfunctions. He teaches human sexuality and psychology courses at Orange Coast College and practicum therapy course for graduate students at Pepperdine University. We are going to join the show in progress as audience members continued asking questions of our panelists. Let's take a listen. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm here today at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood with a fabulous group of guests, and we are in front of a live studio audience. It is Ask the Sex Therapist themed show, and with me are a great panel of diverse sex therapists, including Jamila Dawson, Dr. Chris Donahue, Kate Lurie, and Dr. Hernando Chavez. And we've got another audience question.
So my name is Georgia, and Dr. Donahue, I've actually seen you speak before a couple of years ago, and I'm a fan of everyone on the panel. I too am a trained MFT, not licensed yet, but I kind of wanted to lighten things up actually for a second, if that's okay.
That's good.
Is that cool?
That's good.
Okay, yeah. Good. So I remember when I first started working as a sex therapist, I would tell people and they would immediately divulge the most inappropriate information at the most inappropriate times. So
not clients, regular people.
Yeah, let me give you my perfect example. I was getting a Brazilian wax. In the middle of the Brazilian wax, the waxer decides to say, "Oh, you're a sex therapist? I have a really hard time having an orgasm when I'm having sex. What should I do?" Needless to say, I didn't have a 50-minute session with her right there.
Right.
Or later. But that's kind of my example. I'd really like to hear from the four of you. Maybe just like a little funny anecdote or something that's happened, or, you know, maybe even on a date. Who knows?
Yeah.
Thank you for the last part. That was more helpful, the date. You want to hear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's only going to get worse. I kid you not. It does not ever fail to stop. And it's always dinner parties. Like, it's the worst. I wind up finding myself in a corner somewhere in hours gone by, and somehow I've gotten trapped in. So I've gotten better at, like, dodging that and shutting it down. Long story short, the date one. It's the date. Where I've been on dates where they just start expressing all of their early wounding or sexual struggles. And I'm thinking, like, you know, on one hand, love your confidence or authenticity. But on the other hand, like, you are trying to court me and you are trying to show me your best parts. And, you know, it's really hard when it started out from that place to still, I don't know, eroticize or to... you know, it just sets up this dynamic. And so I can think of a date specifically where I was like so into it. And then we got into that moment. And at the end, it was like, yeah, no. But it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away.
You're going to have to like figure it out as you go. I have a couple of online profiles. OkCupid has just not been great for me. I won't lead with the fact that I'm a sex therapist, but when I'm at parties and stuff, yeah, people ask, and you know, or I'm getting like fast food or something, they're like, "Oh, you're out late," because I see my clients late. "What do you do?" "Oh, I'm a sex therapist." And they just don't hand me my food. And they're like, "So does that mean you get naked with your clients? Do you have sex with your clients? Because like one time I was having sex and this came out and I didn't." And yeah, and you just get caught. And I was raised to be very diplomatic, which is another way of saying I dissociate really easily. And so I go into this very like polite mode of like, "Yeah, that can be really difficult. Here's a couple of websites, like, thank you, and have a really great night." But there's something also, I'm not gonna lie, I don't know about for you guys, but there's something, being a Black girl in the Valley in predominantly white spaces, I don't get seen. Like, I went to UC Santa Barbara, I loved my school, but that was not a place where they saw this body, this kind of a person. And so there's something, it was when I first started working at adult stores, that's how I got seen, of like, "Oh, I will talk about sex. I will go into these places that other people won't go. I will listen to you, because then you see me for a little while." And so for me, still, there's like, I'll put a container on it because I want to get home to my cats and my food. But that there's something really precious about, like, you don't know that you're making a sacred whore of me, but that's okay. Like, I will still, like, I will make space for that. It's difficult. You're going to have to find your own way. We can talk about it.
And you'll get slut shamed. That's the other piece of
that
attention.
Already happens.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So, that'll happen too.
Yeah.
Do you guys have other funny stories? Anyone?
I mean, for me, I have a tier system of what I say to people. Like, for anybody that I kind of wonder how they're going to respond, I just say I'm a therapist. If I'm a little bit more confident, I'll say I'm a sex therapist. If I'm super confident, I'll say I'm a sex positive therapist, or that I work with non-monogamous and kinky people. So I have a really good little antenna about that. And so that doesn't happen to me that much. Although if I go on a date, men do tend to like go into grilling me with questions, and I have to kind of put some boundaries around that. Instead, I think I'll answer the question just a little bit different and just say my most awkward moment at a party, because my clients are everywhere. They're under this chair, they're everywhere. And so one of my most awkward moment with a client, I was at this party, and a lot of the parties I go to are pretty body parties, you know? And so it's a huge room. There's like 150 people there. I'm with the guy I was dating at the time, who was 6'6". Across the way is a client. She decides to take her top off because it was that, you know, kind of party. At that point, she decides to introduce me to her friends. Now, I'm not breaking confidentiality, right? She's about to, so she's bebopping through the crowd, right? Without her top off, you know? And you've never seen a therapist haul a 6'6" dude across a hallway so fast, you know? And later on, I just explain, you know, if you want to do that, you know, just do it when your shirt's still on. And it was fine. But, you know, I didn't have time to think about it. All I did was go into my sympathetic nervous system, fight, fight, flee, and that freeze, and I was bolting. Yeah.
I mean, this actually happens to me. I'm not a therapist. Just everyone remember, I'm not a therapist. But as a sex educator, when you tell people that you're a sex educator, this happens to me all the time. And the way that I've begun to think about it in the past few years is actually very different from how I used to think about it. Because I think at first you feel like, whoa, dude, boundaries. Like, you wouldn't ask anyone that question in Ralph's. Like, I'm just trying to check out. Like, this is weird, you know what I mean? Like, I would get agitated with people, right? Aggravated with people. And now I have a different approach, which is that when people are really inappropriate with me, I have to see it for what it is, which is that they are a product of our dysfunctional sexual culture.
Right.
And I actually have so much compassion, because you don't know how to talk about sex. You don't know how to set boundaries around it. You don't know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, because we live in a culture that is so fucked up about sexual communication that you've just heard sex and like something went off in your brain and now you're gonna like download all this stuff at me. And it's like, it's not about you individually. You're not a bad person. You need this information desperately. You wanna share this, you wanna be heard, you wanna be seen. You want to be acknowledged. You don't know who else to tell. I just opened the door and you just fucking crashed through it. I mean, broke the plate glass window, like crashed through it. But I have compassion that you are a product of a culture that just doesn't know how to talk about sexuality. Yes. If we could be having these conversations at the dinner table, at Thanksgiving, at the family funeral, everywhere, then it would be more normalized, right? And it wouldn't be this like weird explosion at you, because they've never been able to tell anyone that thing about themselves. Let's take a break, and when we come back, more with our fantastic sex therapist. Sharpen your pencils and polish your apples, because the Pleasure Chest is taking you back to school. The Pleasure Chest is the only adult boutique that offers free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to increase their sexual IQ. With classes ranging from strap on, get off, to the ultimate O, to spank someone happy, education has never been so stimulating. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a hot study date or pick up some skills yourself. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I am at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood, and we are recording today in front of a live studio audience. And let me just say, they are a really engaged, smart audience who's asking very thought-provoking questions of this panel of sex therapists. Dr. Hernando Chavez, Kate Lurie, Dr. Chris Donahue, and Jamila Dawson. And we've got another audience question.
Hi. I'm Natasha. Thank you so much for being here. I love your show. I've watched you for years, and I've listened to you for years. So thank you all for being here. You were talking earlier about sociological impact on your clients and how you kind of treat the whole, all factors when you're treating someone as opposed to just, you know, pathology. My question has to do with weight, and I've been overweight most of my life, so most of my sexual life has been in this body that's like deemed overweight or as a fat woman, and I'm a heterosexual woman, and I'm extremely passionate about sex education. I feel really empowered normally in my sexuality. I've always been super sexual, and I find as I've gotten older and I've become more conscious of like social constructs and the world around us and how it's sort of broken, that it's really, it's very challenging to be a really sexually empowered overweight woman for me. And I kind of want to know, because when I have had, you know, casual but really fulfilling like sexual encounters, I have sometimes walked away with a feeling of like this weird internalized shame of like I'm a secret or I'm like, because there's this sense in our society in my experience that like having sex with an overweight woman, if you are a straight man, is sort of like this shameful sort of secretive thing, because we don't really celebrate like fat women. I'm going to make a big assumption here, that we know like what the ideal body is because we are shown it all the time. And I think you were talking about, one of the panelists was talking about how social constructs are kind of changing because of social media. Like, as therapists, have you treated people with similar experiences? And what are some of the things that you say to them? And how do you work with, specifically if you've worked with straight women who are overweight, like, what are some of the tools that you bring to the table to treat this kind of internalized shame around sex and being overweight and enjoying sex? Mm. That's my question.
Really great question. I know for me it's, so for me what happened that helped me love my body, one, being African American, in our culture you're supposed to have hips and you're supposed to have thighs and you're supposed to have legs, and like as one of my clients said the other day, like some tummy is yummy. So like there was, so I had like a cultural buffer. But as I said, I also grew up in predominantly white areas and then went to a very white school where like the body type was a very specific one. And what I did for myself and what I do with my clients who, because I know it's real, especially in LA, it's so real, is this is a city of dreams and of illusion and of image, and you have to fight for an image that reflects you. I had to fight for it. Like, I go back to the 1870s and the 1890s and the 1900s when there are plenty of images of white women who are curvy. I look at Mae West and I talk about her, and like, this, she was beautiful, and have you seen her clothes? My God. And so, and I look for movies, like I go and I support anything that is body positive and fat positive. And I remember that this is an image, this is a system of capitalism. People are profiting off your pain. People are profiting off you not feeling right. And it becomes to me a practice of finding, oh, there was a time when I was beautiful. This is what is false. What is true is that this body has always been beautiful and has always been adored. And all women's bodies and all bodies have actually always been adored. And you have to fight for that. And you go and you find other people who feel the same way. Yeah. Like, I went into the kink community, very nervous. Like, there was just like me. And I was like, I guess like this isn't just white people shit, because I like it too. So, here I am. And what I found was all these different types of bodies in all these different places. And I found a place where, like, your uniqueness is exactly what people are looking for. They're not looking for an image, they're looking for an experience. And if you can bring that experience, that's what started to heal me. One of my favorite stories, there's a woman. Thank you. There's this woman who was very curvy, and whenever she would get hit or play, she made this chirping sound. And it was the cutest effing thing. And I would watch her, and I had some of the internalized stuff. There was like, oh God, she's like me, like, and she's out there, like out there. And then, like, I just started to listen differently and look differently. And I saw people like, oh my God, she's gonna go get hit. You wanna go hear her chirping sounds? Like, and it became this like joyful community rejoicing in her uniqueness and her body and her sounds. And that's what started me on this journey of like, you go fight for the images that reflect who you are, who you know yourself to be. And then you go find people who reflect that. And you go like as far as you need to go to find those people. But they're around. And the ones who are ashamed, you sift them. They don't deserve you. Mm-hmm.
I know Chris has a lot to say about this because he's talking on the Facebook all the time about it. But
Someone follows me.
I want to do just some very LA specific shout outs because in our studio audience today is Elle Chase, who is. She's a body positive sex educator, and she does classes on this very topic, and she's written a book called The Curvy Girl's Guide to Sex. Sorry, what's it called? I'm so bad. It's called Curvy Girl Sex. And
Great photos.
Has amazing photos. April Flores is on the cover. It's a fantastic book for people of all sizes, so I totally recommend that. And then there's a great activist in town. Her name is Bevan Brand Landingham. She's known on the internet as Queer Fat Femme. She teaches a class called the Fat Kid Dance Party, which is an aerobics class taught at a new gym in Los Angeles called Everybody, which is an anti-oppression, social justice-oriented, queer and trans-positive gym in Los Angeles.
Only in LA.
And Bevan teaches a class, which she says is a class to heal for people of all sizes to heal from body oppression. And I know people who go to the class and feel amazing afterwards. So those are two LA-specific resources for you. I want to hear what Chris says, skinny white dude.
I'm not saying anything. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about living in LA, though. We have resources like that. And I've seen the videos of the class, and that's so phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really say much more, I mean, other than the fact that, yes, I'm skinny. But Jamila kind of nailed it, and Elle's work nails it, in that I think it's about representation and community. And that's kind of what Kate was talking about. Any minority status individual should find community and representation that reflects back value based on their identity, whatever that is. And so that's the work I do with my clients. I also try to make sure that, and a lot of therapists aren't doing this, and I call this out to the people I used to practice with, where I was trying to look at the environment, like what's in my waiting room? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I always say this, and our magazines were like People Magazine, where it's, you know, most attractive woman was white, cis, feminine, skinny, wealthy. And I was like, that's so not okay. You know, and my colleagues were like, well, that's censorship if we remove it. And I was like, it's compassion. You know what I mean? Like, it's so important. And have books like yours sitting around, you know? So you nailed it, representation and community. And I openly try to use my platforms to call out and to challenge those that are body shaming and those that aren't representing diversity in their marketing and with the use of models and all that. So top down and bottom up. Yeah.
Okay, we've got another audience question. Hello. Thank you for that one, that was good.
My question is about relationships and authenticity. So let me just preface this by saying, I'm not saying like talk about all this, your sex and sex life in like an office place, but how do you balance relationships with close friends that maybe aren't as like liberal and receptive to like your way of like sex life? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I think I know what you mean. I think all of us.
You can ask clarifying questions.
Yeah, go for it.
So you're saying like.
Very broad.
I'll just say it. Like, most of the friends that I have aren't like very sex positive, or I can't talk about sex, and like if I do, then they'll say like, what's wrong with you, or how
exactly
you?
Okay. And like, how do you, is it your job to educate those people, or is it your job to like end that relationship?
Your job is to speak your truth. Your job is to like, this is what I believe, this is what I stand for, this is what feels good to me. Mm-hmm. And like, still care about them, because I am not of the school of like, oh, you're kind of slamming me a little bit, like I cut you off. Like, that's, yeah. And especially in communities of color, we don't do that, yeah. For better or for worse. We don't cut people off.
Yeah.
So I think there's still like, I love you, I don't want to have this conversation with you, or there's things about me that like, I'm gonna share with other people, but I love that you love this part. And then you go and you find those people who are like, I mean, when I worked at the Pleasure Chest, it was so healing to be like, how was your Friday? Oh, I got fisted. How was it? Did you use the toy? Did you use the Enjoy wand, like in your ass? Or was it like, it was so delicious. And I'm no longer socialized for like normal dinner parties. Cause like, I wanna talk about sex. I wanna talk about like politics. I wanna talk about like, oh my God. So you, when you ejaculated and it got in his eye, that was really funny, right? Go find your people. Like, keep the tribe that you got, but go find your other people.
And harder with dating. Like, I got to a place where I was, for a period of time, dating online, and I started out the idea of, I won't put a lot of my politics out there. I'll have a wide net, you know? And then within a couple minutes talking, I realized, like, I had to start to get real specific with what my ideas and politics were. Where was I going with that? I don't know. I think the dating piece is what's really important, right? Where I do agree that we shouldn't cut people out, but at the same time, I do think we have to cut people out. Where I'm not a fan of having oppressive people around me in any capacity, and some of that's the privileges I have that allow me to do that, but I can't, at this point in my life, be part of any systems that I find to be oppressive to other people or myself, whether it's dating, family members, or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically what I tell my clients is to imagine like the dartboard that you see at a dive bar, right? And like the inner part, that dot in the middle, that's your inner circle. Those people should be people that have earned your trust. They're not the kind of people that you disclose and then 6 months later they use what you disclose against you. They're the kind of people that show up at the hospital for you, right? And as you move out on that dartboard, you're getting to people that sometimes maybe are a little toxic, and maybe there's people that don't even get to be on the dartboard. You know, people need to earn your authenticity. And also you have to look at your own emotional gas tank. You know, maybe you're in a place where you're super strong and you're like, I'm gonna come out to grandma, you know, right? Right?
Yeah.
But maybe other times not so much. And so you can wait, or maybe you never tell her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another factor.
Okay. And for me, I think there's a piece about, I have to check my own ego, because how egocentric of me to believe that other people have to believe how I, or think how I think and believe what I believe. I think there's a piece about the acceptance of others that I have to also practice. I can't just preach it. I have to also apply that to the world around me. And it's challenging at times. But like, for example, I've got one of my closest friends from high school, so I've known this person for 20 plus years, who is a Trump supporter, and I'm not. And so how do we navigate that? Do we end our friendship of 20 years? Do we write each other off? We dialogue, we disagree, but we still find a way to at least come together in a common ground, even though there's distinct differences in our ideology. I believe we should have boundaries, but we have to also check ourselves in how we enforce the boundaries to such a strict degree that we're actually not challenging ourselves to grow and also be empathic and compassionate to the world around us, because otherwise we're gonna cut out, and be all of a sudden alone in an isolated space in a bubble. Yeah. So,
I think that's, Hernando, that's one of the things that you do best in your work, is speaking across difference and leaving the door open to have the conversation, right? And we all have to figure out kind of when that's appropriate and when we just don't have it in us to do. Mm-hmm. We gotta take another break. When we come back, more with the therapist.
Sharpen your pencils and polish your apples because the Pleasure Chest is taking you back to school. The Pleasure Chest is the only adult boutique that offers free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to increase their sexual IQ. With classes ranging from strap on, get off, to the ultimate O, to spank someone happy, education has never been so stimulating. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a hot study date or pick up some skills yourself. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide and use the code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are recording here at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood in front of a live studio audience. It speaks to my panel and the Pleasure Chest and maybe the people who listen to my show that this audience is really intelligent and also a little bit fucking rowdy. So I'm here with Dr. Hernando Chavez, Dr. Chris Donahue, Jamila Dawson, and Kate Lurie. They're all sex therapists who work in the Southern California area. And we've got another audience member question.
Hi, my name's Nick, and I'm still trying to sort the question exactly, so maybe I'll get it out the first time, hopefully. I'm cisgendered, straight, white male, and I often feel like the devil, or considered to be the devil. And what's interesting is that I'm very LGBTQ friendly. I love everybody. West Hollywood is my favorite city, okay? I'm more comfortable here than anywhere else. I like going to gay clubs because in a straight club, if I get hit in the shoulder, I'm about to get in a fight. And I used to fight a lot, and I don't want to do that. If I'm in a gay club, I get hit in the shoulder, I get offered a drink. Much better. And I'm always like, girls, why aren't you offering me drinks? What's up? Anyways, because the guys are. And I'm like, dude, they're so nice. Like, so complimentary, and it's amazing. And that's the hard part. Is that for me, I can walk into a place. I've been to gay sex workshops. I've been to anal play workshops. I've been to all sorts of background. And people look at me like, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, like, are you sure you're not? Yeah, I tried it. I learned I wasn't gay the hard way. But it's like restaurants. You try different foods. You find out what you like. It's all good. But that's where I ended up. I ended up figuring out who I am and what I like. And I just want to get a perspective as to how to move through that. Because my goal is to move through the differences that we see right away and we see as divisive as you're this type of person to a place of, oh, wow, wait a minute. We have similarities. We can grow up together. That's what I'm looking towards. Because I don't want to be seen as that. And I hopefully get through it, but that's what I'm working towards. So I want to get your opinion on those things.
What, can we frame the question? Someone frame it, just so we're all on the same page.
Well, getting through that. Sometimes not a clash, but the first question of you're straight white male, right. And you're here, or you're this, or having this preconceived notion, and moving through it, not the divisive of, oh, you're this, therefore you think this about me, which is not the case. You know, I want to represent a positive behavior and action, but grow through that together. So any suggestions for those things?
Right, so in progressive circles, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in my social media feed, straight white men are getting beat up a lot these days, for good reason.
See, there you go. That's part of it, right?
Right, because there's a lot of people that look like you who right now are fucking up our country so desperately.
But my ethnic background has been oppressed. I just appear.
You appear white.
Without, but I've had all kinds of experiences that my friends know about. But you know, that's kind of
right.
what I want.
And so you feel like, how do I move in these progressive circles? How do I sort of signal to people I'm not the devil? And how do I get past people assuming that I'm the devil just because I will identify as straight, cis, heterosexual?
I don't think we're there yet. Like, I think where we are is where we are.
I don't know, how do I formulate this?
Because I do agree that there are some spaces where, like, I hear a lot about, you know, women's only spaces, trans only spaces, and I think that that is important. I think it is important to sometimes not allow a dominant, majority-based identity person into your space because of trauma. There's a lot of beautiful reasons. I'm not giving an answer because I don't know that you should have immediate access to all spaces, nor do I think people should immediately have to accept you in all spaces. I think you're doing your work already by just trying to be open and present yourself. I don't want to put the onus on these others to be more inclusive, because I don't think that that's always appropriate. Someone help me out. Is this...
No.
You sure to go? You know, I think we have to think about the kind of person we want to be and then own it and move towards it. I think we have to do work when it comes to putting forth towards the world, supporting the ideologies that we believe are important to promote, the people for whatever sort of equity or diversity, you know, parts to themselves that they have. I mean, I consider myself, you know, a staunch advocate for women. And when I see oppression for women, you know, I think it's important for me to stand up or to help or to support. And that's something that I probably learned from my sister and growing up with my, you know, us being the same age and learning to really appreciate and love and adore, you know, the influence of women. And that's why I call myself a feminist. But I didn't start off that way necessarily. It was a gradual process that we have to take steps towards. My support of the sex work industry, primarily the pornography industry, it's because I see the stigma, I see the need for support, and so I want to be that person. I didn't start off that way, so my encouragement to you is to visualize who you want to be, you know, find the communities that you want to support and become that ally, become that advocate. And it will take time to get more of that trust and build that sort of rapport. Like Chris was saying, you know, there's a lot of stigma and there's a lot of fear and there's discrimination and there's violence and there's things that sort of keep, you know, some people at arm's length, but be yourself and work towards being who you want to be and share that with the world.
Yeah. You know, going back to, you know, the Orange Depression and all of that, I think for a lot of us, you know, the silver lining of that is that a lot of us Democratic liberals realized that, you know, we thought we were okay. We thought that we were aware of our privilege or whatever, and then we realized we didn't know shit about shit. And for a lot of us, it was a huge wake-up call, and maybe we immersed ourselves in trying to learn about something. For me, I happened to have a dear friend that is black, and he just started telling me stuff. I started reading Angela Davis, I'm Not Your Negro, Moonlight, and all the seasons of Key and Peele, like all the things, you know. And I, you know, and I've still got a long way to go, even with just what's going on with black people. That's just one thing. But I'm way better than I was 3 months ago before I immersed myself in all of that. You know, and then also just making friends with people of a particular type, you know, and asking them these hard questions, you know, and saying, I'm trying to be even better than where I'm at now. And they'll have, if you open that and say, I'm ready for a hard dialogue, a lot of times they're willing to step towards you.
Well, I grew up as the only white guy in my crew. Mm-hmm. I don't look like it. I don't present that. But if you look at me on the street, I don't look like this. I'm just out of work. But what happens is I had to leave a job because I was discriminated against. And I was walked up to by somebody of another ethnicity who said, I heard the bosses talking about you. I'm sorry you're dealing with racism. And I left. And it was after a year. And I went there knowing it was a diverse background because I grew up in diversity. So for me, I didn't get mad because I understood the history. I understood where they came from. I understood the background. So I didn't get mad. I just said, okay, and I walked away. And so I don't blame everybody for that particular issue, but I want to move through and grow through this rather than just point fingers at each other.
But it's a cultural thing. And so, culturally, we're not through it. And so you're going to have to accept not being given entrance or inclusivity in some spaces, and that has to be okay.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I just want to go. I like growth. I'm looking for positive.
Work on dismantling the cultural stuff.
So.
And be the most like strong ally that you can be. The humility piece is huge. I mean, in the kink community, one of the things that I love so much, or the leather community, is that you become your reputation. That you stick around long enough so that people can see who you are. You don't get all the cookies because you showed up. Mm-hmm. And all of us, here's the thing, all of us right now are caught in an historical moment. You know, 60 years ago, I would have been caught in a very different historical moment. 100 years ago, I would have been caught in a very different historical moment. And a lot of my white friends are struggling with, like, people dislike me, or how do I make a space? And well, I have some empathy, but I also, like, that's, I think, where some of my rigidity shows up, which is, like, you breathe and you keep showing up the way that I have had to keep breathing and show up. And you hope that you eventually get seen for who you are, because that's it. And, you know, sometimes you go home and you get frustrated and you're like, fuck those people. And then you breathe and you show up again. And that's the best that I can tell you from, as a leather woman, like, you just find your community and show up.
And I want to just say, as a white person to other white people who are here and who are listening, that like the profound discomfort you are experiencing right now has been experienced by so many other people for their entire fucking lives. So you have to sit with that discomfort. You have to sit with that discomfort. And you can't call yourself an ally, and you can't call yourself an advocate. Other people can call you that when you earn it, because you keep showing up, like Jamila said. We're gonna take a commercial break. Keep throwing those softball questions at us.
Sharpen your pencils and polish your apples, because the Pleasure Chest is taking you back to school. The Pleasure Chest is the only adult boutique that offers free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to increase their sexual IQ. With classes ranging from strap on, get off, to the ultimate O, to spank someone happy, education has never been so stimulating. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a hot study date or pick up some skills yourself. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking with a group of amazing sex therapists at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood in front of a live studio audience. I'm your host, Tristan Taramino. I don't think I've said that in 2 hours. You just joined us. And I'm here with Jamila Dawson, Kate Lurie, Dr. Chris Donahue, and Dr. Hernando Chavez, and they are taking a really incredible group of questions from a really fantastic audience, and we've got another question.
My name is Emma.
Hi, Emma!
I've done loads of therapy, and like my first sort of bunch of it came after I was diagnosed as bipolar, and so like the therapy I had access to, or the place I needed to be for that, was not necessarily like a sex positive space. And so I'm wondering sort of if you guys have any like advice or criteria for people who are in therapy but don't necessarily have like sex positive therapists for sort of like taking agency over their therapy and like also being able to like, I don't know, analyze like what's coming to them as, you know, like strategies and stuff, or just like, I don't know, analysis and commentary and like how to sort of like parse that out from themselves for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, for one thing, you might want to consider, do you want a sex positive therapist? And if you do, you can find them on Tristan's open list. You can find them on the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom's Kink Aware directory. There's places where you can find lists that are for all over the United States where you can go to a sex positive therapist and you're not gonna worry, you have to worry about being sexually shamed for whatever it is you bring to the table. So there's that. You know, and then if you choose to not go to a sex positive therapist and you choose to go to a therapist that is other, you know, there's ones that vary, right? There's ones that are way more liberal than others. You know, where are you on the spectrum? If your therapist is so conservative that you're feeling shamed, then guess what? You're getting traumatized in therapy. And you should really think about that, because therapists have a powerful role, just like you know, doctors or priests, you know, where they can really impact people. And if they're shaming their clients, you could be traumatized rather than healing. So let's assume that you have a super liberal therapist that's just short of being a sex positive therapist. Then in that case, you know, you can set her straight. But even with that, are you starting to feel like you're teaching the therapist? You're paying a lot of money to be teaching the therapist. They're supposed to be your Sherpa, you know? So that's all I'd have to say about that.
And you still gotta ask a lot of questions. I don't trust anyone's self-identification as a sex positive or sex therapist. Like, it's not regulated. It's not regulated at all in California. There's a lot of states where it's not. And there's not mandated training requirements. It's just thrown around. I know a lot of, again, here's my thing, sex addiction therapists that are using that term as well. So you gotta be really careful. It's quite expensive, but you could also find a secondary therapist that's sex positive and does sex therapy. I work that way, where some of my clients have a primary therapist for a specific diagnosis, because I don't work with all diagnoses. I only these days work with relational sexual based issues only. And they'll work with me weekly or every other week or once a month around their sexual specific issue. You could read my book. But, you know, yeah, I mean, luckily we have these big, amazing databases, but ask a lot of questions. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a huge piece. My mother's a physician, and while she likes to do power dynamics with me, she was always huge about you have sovereignty over your body, you have sovereignty over your health, and and she was very clear about, like, you walk into a doctor's room or a therapist's room, you get to ask questions, you are the expert. And so before making an appointment with a therapist, I love taking those calls of like, how do you work? What do you do? What do you know about? And I want my clients, and I want everybody here who's looking for a therapist to ask, like, what does the term sex positive mean to you? Have you worked with people around sexuality? What are your thoughts on kink or polyamory? And get a sense so that you don't walk in and get traumatized. I'm a big fan. My old therapist was not identified as kink positive or sex positive or any of that, but she was, and you do find this, she was willing. She was willing and open and supportive. She was a good therapist, which means you're curious and you're compassionate and you meet your client where they are. And that was so super healing. She was white. It was also very healing on that thing. There was a lot more. So I encourage you to, and anybody here, like, get a list of questions. A lot of us on our websites, or you can find it, like, list things to ask your therapist. Have it as a script. Call them. Don't sit down. I always say, like, stand up so that you have some strength and some posture when you're making that call and you ask those questions. If their administrative assistant or whoever is bitchy or not pleasant or uncool, get away. So ask those questions and then read books. Like, we still, as Chris said, it's not regulated here in California, in Los Angeles. So it really is like, what books have you read? Have you read Opening Up? Have you read The Ethical Slut? Have you read, bell hooks? Do you read about liberation psychology? Like, ask these questions to get a sense. Because it is expensive and not everybody can afford our time. Pitch for the Relational Center. We are sex positive. It's a clinical site. And it's accessible, financially accessible to a lot of people. So look for those places.
And I wish people asked more questions. I personally don't get asked a lot when people call. And so when people do, it jolts me. And it's a beautiful, important thing. I think people should definitely ask more questions. They might, in my experience, they generally don't. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate.
And there's also, for everybody listening, if you, and I don't have the exact URL, but if you typed in your search, Carol Queen, Good Vibrations, Sex Positive article, you're gonna find the greatest article I've ever seen written on what sex positivity is that Carol Queen herself wrote. And if you can read that and use that as a guide for, let's say, the questions that Jamila is recommending and encouraging that you formulate for your therapist, I think you're going to find that that's going to be a wonderful template in what that really means, because there are so many different subjective ideas of what sex positivity is. Rather than believe that they're, you know, their words, why not find out for yourself? So that's one thing I would encourage.
That's great. Thank you. And we got another question.
Sorry, I'm short. So my name's Mercedes, and I guess my question is, where is there space or room in sex positivity for people of color? Because I feel as though I've done like a lot of reading, I've read a lot of some of your stuff and like your articles and followed some of you guys. But I feel it's still an issue of it's very white centered. And I think that is a problem because it's not usually talking about the fact that you're talking about white sexual issues. So for instance, like, how do you talk about whether or not I'm being fetishized because of my race, or are you appreciating, and where are the boundaries in that, and how do I feel comfortable in that? And so I kind of just, what are your thoughts on like, how do we bring POCs or people of color into sex positivity in this movement and these discussions and these talks?
Well, there's a few leaders. You got Jamila for one, and then you've also got Melina Williams, who has a ton of clips on YouTube where she addresses just what you said in several clips. You know, and if you have a friend that's wondering about some of those things, you can just cut and paste those clips and send them to them. I don't know what the stats are now. It feels like in LA maybe it's getting a little better. I don't know. What do you?
I mean, I know people who have been around for a while, and it's like,
better. She's making it, listeners, she's making a motion with her fingers that's like,
very tiny.
A millimeter.
Yeah, people are hungry for it. I posted a picture of me with you. And I got flooded with comments like, who is she? Where can I find her work? I need, you know, like, people are hungry for more POC work. So,
yeah. I mean, this is, okay, I feel like I'm talking a lot, but that's okay. Shonda Rhimes said, I deserve that. We are the next wave that's coming out. We are the ones who are going to change the field of sex therapy. And what it is that, here's the other piece people don't always want to talk about, it's an economics issue. To get to be a therapist, to get a PhD is expensive. And it means a lot of us, particularly people of color, particularly trans folks, do not have the resources to get it. Like, I think about, like, my parents made decisions long before I was even an idea that resulted in me being able to do this and have those letters. So that's a real piece that we need to find ways to, like, get some economic, like, stability and, like, be able to buy our degrees.
Yeah.
The other piece is there's the Women of Color Sexual Health Network that's blowing up, like, on the West Coast and Central. Like, they are doing amazing stuff. Look them up, get connected to them. Get connected to me. That is my mission. I'm looking for queer people of color. I'm looking for queer folk. I'm looking for genderqueer folk. That's who I want to spend my time on to shift what the field is. And don't forget to have fun, to be who you are. Like, my work is completely connected to, like, because I'm kinky, because I'm polyamorous, because I'm a femme, because I'm a slave. Like, I do this because it's who I am.
Yeah.
So I want you to, like, go keep going to school, read everything you can, even people you disagree with, like Patrick Carnes. And just keep, and find the others, and anybody, if you've got just a little bit more education than somebody or a little bit more access, you make sure you turn around and you bring somebody behind you. That's the only thing that's going to do it.
Yeah.
But just stay connected to me.
Yeah. I mean, it is working. And this, like, I also think of it as, like, again, like going back to, even if it's not the educators themselves, that there's an issue that in communities of color that, like, sex positivity is a privilege that a lot of minority groups don't feel so they are able to have access to or feel as though they can be a part of just because of their racial minority or because of their culture of being like, oh, like, what do you mean polyamory? Like, that's not something that Black people do or whatever kind of thing. As like a queer person of color, like, I've heard a lot of these stories of people feeling as though they can't be in those worlds. And it's very interesting.
This is where I get a little rigid because I think all of us are up here because we couldn't not keep going. We just couldn't not keep following this. And it takes imagination, it takes courage. And you don't have to use the term that a white person calls it. It doesn't have to be called polyamory. Like, Black people and other people of color, we construct language, we construct culture all the time. Like, we can't help it. And so that is not an excuse just because you don't see it reflected.
Yeah.
Like, what my great grandparents, they could never have imagined that I'm living this life, but that's why I'm gonna live it. And so I really, like, get creative, use your imagination, go find other people who are like, I wanna define it for myself too. I'm not gonna let white people limit me. As Zora Neale Hurston said, like, I'm too busy sharpening my oyster knife.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. That was great. Okay, so this raises a few interesting points, and then I'm gonna wrap it all up. One is that it just so happens that Jamila Dawson and I and one other person are currently developing a new class called Resistance, Pleasure as Resistance, Sexual Self-Care and Social Justice. And that's coming to LA very soon, so stay fucking tuned to that. But I think for me as a white sex educator, a question that I ask myself daily in whether I'm going to an event or I'm preparing a class or I'm writing or I'm thinking about something is to remind myself that there is no such thing as across the board access to unmitigated pleasure. That the places we are socially located in this culture determine our access. And we can't continue to be like, all you need is a vibrator and you've got an orgasm. Because that really leaves out everything that we've been talking about tonight, right? And it assumes that everyone has access to unmitigated pleasure, which is not true. And not all bodies have it, not all people have it, not all identities have it. So I feel like I have to constantly remind myself of that, that my path to empowerment is not your path, and is not your path, and is not your path, and that I have to think about it in terms of accessibility, not just in terms of like one sort of single way that we can all get what we want in bed, for whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. I want at least 600 thread count sheets. That's a hard limit for me. And hashtag white girl problems. Okay, so there's good news, which is that, like, you have access to all of us because you've now auditioned some potential therapists. right? So please, if you are interested in any of these folks or want to talk to them, please come up to them. They have business cards. Chris has books for sale. He's selling them out of his bag, which is just so anti-capitalist, Chris.
What?
Love it. And then I want to tell you about this resource that I have, which is the Open List. The Open List is on openingup.net, and it is a network of a lot of helping professions, but primarily therapists and sex and relationship coaches who are trained, experienced, and very positive about
polyamory, kink, sex positive, queer affirming, anti-oppression. They deal with non-monogamy. They deal with sex workers. They deal with activists. This is a great place to find a therapist. And I want to thank all of you for being such an incredible audience tonight. Woo! And keep listening to Sex Out Loud and keep having these really important discussions about sex out loud.
Well, that was quite something. The Pleasure Chest audience was so incredible and brought the most thoughtful questions, which really made it a lively discussion. Let me tell you how to find my guests online. Jamila Dawson, JamilaDawson, is at JamilaDawson.com, on Twitter at Jamila_Dawson, on Instagram at Everyday Erotic, and on Facebook, Jamila Dawson. Chris Donahue, DonaghuE, is on Twitter and Facebook at Chris Donahue and on Instagram at Dr. Donahue. Kate Laree, LOREE, is at katelaree.com, on Twitter at Kate Laree, on Facebook, Kate S. Laree, LMFT, and on Instagram at K. Laree, LMFT. And Hernando Chavez is on Twitter and Instagram at Hernando_Chavez and on Facebook, Hernando Chavez. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Special thanks to everyone at the Pleasure Chest. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, Evan, my sound tech for the show, and Chris, my editor. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.